December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The famous words of President Roosevelt on December 8th before the assembled Congress after Pearl Harbor when we declared war on Japan. And it was a national crisis. Why did this happen? Well, the theory everybody came down or could agree, poor preparation. But we needed scapegoats, and rightfully so. Let's get the Navy. So Admiral Stark, the chief of naval operations, Admiral Turner, his chief of war plans, and Admiral Kimmel, who was out in Pearl Harbor, the admiral of the Pacific Fleet, and his army commander underneath him, General Short, became scapegoats, really, and took the fall. But even today, there are still conspiracy theories about what happened. Well, you're all aware of the seven P's. Proper prior planning prevents pretty poor performance. Or in the words of General Washington in a 1780 letter, there is nothing so likely to produce peace as to be well prepared to meet an enemy. Well, how much more should we be prepared for the eternal reign of the Messiah, the King of Kings? And that affects, during this Christmas season, we lose track, but that affects our view of human government, you know, our view, our trust. Are we more concerned about that than about the perfect King? Well, the candle that Joe and Sarah lit was called the, actually, you English teachers, is the past tense of light lit or lighted? Yeah, I've heard it both ways. But the candle was lit. Was the Bethlehem candle. So here we are talking about a little suburb of Jerusalem versus Rome, the center of man's empire under, at this time, Caesar Augustus. And Bethlehem, of course, was the city of David. The name means house of bread. It's where the sacrificial sheep were raised for the temple offerings. And that candle, some of the themes have to do with the prophecy of his coming, the coming Messiah, the first and then, of course, the second time. The mood is to be joyful expectation. The characteristic is peace and what that really means and preparation. And the banner, of course, is the second banner up there, prepare. And so the Advent readings that were read from Isaiah, the themes were righteousness, justice, peace in the coming kingdom, ultimately the kingdom of God on earth. And then the Romans, the idea of joy, comfort, peace, hope in believing, which includes the Gentiles. So here's this message of hope to not only the Jewish people, but the Gentiles. And then Matthew 3, the kingdom of heaven, the preparation of John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord. And he preached repentance, confession, judgment coming, that along with that grace and mercy of the coming Messiah would be the flip side of judgment for those who do not trust in the message. Well, the text I'm sort of basing this on is from Psalm 72, where it is talking about the Messiah's reign and three characteristics. It's going to be a righteousness, a righteous judgment. The word is used just in those few verses. The root of that word, is used some four times, but a righteous judgment, a just judgment. And then the result is ultimately peace. And that word mountains, creep, you know, the Rocky Mountains, right? That's why I'm still using that backdrop. But the idea of the strength of the mountains, but peace is the result. And when it comes to our Messiah, it's eternal peace, some of the words. As long as the sun and moon endure. Have any of you noticed the moon? You know, it's been a full moon, and it comes up in, you know, about 4 o'clock or so, and just amazing. And even as we were driving in, it's, you know, it's beginning to go down. Just a reminder that we are the pinnacle of God's creation, and that the sun and the moon are ordinances that God created to show his everlasting, as a sign of his everlasting love. And it will endure until the moon is no more. And by the way, Psalm 72 is attributed to Solomon, David's son. And his name means man of peace. So to quote President Theodore Roosevelt at a 1902 West Point, no, Naval Academy graduation, it cannot be too often repeated that in modern war, and especially in modern naval war, the chief factor in achieving triumph, victory, is what has been done in the way of thorough preparation and training before the beginning of war. So at Advent 1, little Jesus being born in Bethlehem, the city of David, he is the greater son of David. So at Advent 1, and born to die, his life, ministry, and then of course Easter time, his death on the cross, the war was won against sin and death. And that eternal peace began at Advent 1. But we as believers should be trusting, hoping, looking for, preparing for Advent 2, when Jesus comes again and the final battle and true peace reigns in the kingdom of God on earth. An old song by Isaac Watts, you know, one of the great hymn writers of the church, his name is called Jesus Shall Reign. Here's the first verse. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. Jesus, our Messiah, the perfect King, shall reign. So like John the Baptist said, we are to prepare and make straight the way. Early Christians were called the way, the Christian message. So our role to be telling it on the mountains, as we'll be singing later, I believe, but also the idea of Jesus as the only reason for the season, as you've heard, but the message. And like Isaiah said, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, Jesus, you know, in the line of Jesus, ancestors of Jesus, that root who shall stand as a banner proclaiming peace, salvation, preparation of war and victory against sin. Banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him and his resting place on the mountain, Mount Zion, shall be glorious. And by way of doxology at the end of Psalm 72, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole world be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Actually, they were both amen. And so now, if you would, We're going to recite the Nicene Creed. So please rise for that. And then we will be serving communion. And for anybody visiting, anyone who professes Christ as their Lord and Savior is welcome as we celebrate and remember the new covenant in Christ's body and his blood, which at Advent 1, some 30 years later, at Easter, when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. That was the atoning sacrifice, big words, the greatest sheep ever born in Bethlehem to satisfy God's wrath against sinful man. And that's what we remember, the new covenant. So the Nicene Creed, let's say it together.